Hey, everybody, it's Jimmy Smith. On today's Unlocking the Cage podcast, we discuss Jake Paul versus Jorge Masvidal. They're back and forth. Does the money matter? Will they ever fight? Also, I answer your questions on the UTC mailbag. Jake Paul knocking out Tyron Woodley with an overhand right in a fight that was up to that point pretty forgettable. I don't know what else to say about it other than Paul ahead on the scorecards, I believe, by one or two. But in a not memorable fight, a lot of clinching, a lot of holding, a lot of stalling. Wasn't particularly entertaining. And then bang, an overhand right. Floors Tyron Woodley. And I mean face down, eyes wide shut, finished. No way you can see that any other way than a knockout for Jake Paul. So good for him. Decisive win. But, of course, the question remains, what is next? He knocked out a former UFC champion who had looked like absolute dog crap in his last few MMA fights and then didn't look good at all in the first fight with Jake Paul. So Tyron Woodley's in the rearview mirror. Where do we go from here? So, of course, Jake Paul had some words for it, as a good promoter does. I want to say this before anything. Do I think the guy is a professional level boxer? No. He is a professional-level promoter. My hat's off to him. And that's not an insult. That's not a slight jab at the guy. I'm serious. The guy really is next level at promoting. He's very good at that. He's very savvy. He knows who to call out and why and how and what format. He is great at that. So having been around a lot of promoters in my line of work, he is excellent at it. So this was the post-fight press conference of Paul Woodley to Jake Paul's message to Dana White. Let's hear it.
I just knocked out a 5-time UFC champion and embarrassed your whole company. And please, please let me get Kamaru Usman. Please let me get Diaz. Please let me get Masvidal. Please let me get McGregor. Because I'm going to embarrass them too. I promise you that, Dana. I promise you that.
The contrast there is a little weird, isn't it? It just as I listen to it with a broadcaster's ears, I embarrassed your company. Pretty please let me have these guys. It was weird, right? He starts off kind of brash, like I embarrassed your guys. Can I please have these guys, please? It's weird. It's a weird contrast. You know what I mean? Just not, I understand what he's saying, you know, but I would have said, dude, give them to me. Da, 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 da. I would have been a little bit more. It was kind of weird that contrast. KB, you got some opinions about it. I can tell when you reach for that button.
I didn't take it the way you did. Like,
it just sounded strange to me.
I think it's more like I just embarrassed your company. Like, please give me another one. Like, that's the way I took it. Like, give
sure,
me another
I
one of your guys so
weird.
I can do it again.
Yeah. And he ended off with that, obviously. I'll embarrass them, da-da-da. But that middle part, a little strange. I would have been a little more commanding because, you know, when you're in the dominant position, talk like you're in the dominant position. So the analogy I've used many, many times, and I'm going to go back to it because I think it makes sense, is, you know, the squirrel teasing the Rottweiler. Can the Rottweiler eat the squirrel? Yes, but the squirrel's not on a leash. And, you know, Jake Paul knows he's not going to get Kamaru Usman. He's not going to get Diaz probably, and we'll talk about the outside chances. He's probably not going to get Masvidal. So he can say all he wants. Give me this guy. I beat him up. Well, you're never going to probably fight these guys. Probably. So Jorge Masvidal responded on Twitter that you don't make me money and you're not the best in the world. Okay, so, this is via his Twitter. Let's hear how Masvidal said himself.
Listen, man. You understand me and all the names that you mentioned you can't afford. I know everybody what you pay. And you talk a big game, you say $50 million here, $100 million there. Bullshit. If that was the case, Mayweather would have took the fight with your bitch ass. But he hasn't because you don't generate that type of revenue. You're giving out free tickets. You got street teams giving out free tickets, man. Who the f*** are you selling dreams to? You can't afford me to come over. So let me tell you a little secret about me you didn't know. I fight for money or to fight the best in the world. You need it. You understand? I know it hurts. But you're neither the best of the world or making money. I'll tell you what, come on over to UFC, sign a one fight deal, let Dana give you whatever he's got to pay you. I'll break your jaw in front of the whole world, man. I promise you that.
Okay, so here's the deal. So, Masvidal saying, you're not the best, you don't make enough money to bring me over there. Okay? And the whole one fight deal thing is pretty ridiculous, but this is what Paul had to say via his Twitter. Here he goes.
Masvidal's like, you either fight the best people or fight for money. And you're neither one of those. You ain't paying the right amount of money. Might as well. I got an offer for you right now. $5 million guarantee.
Ooh.
Plus percentage of pay-per-views. That's the most you would ever have made as a fight.
Oh, my God.
Ever. So now you can't say, I either fight the best or I fight for money. $5 million guarantee plus pay-per-view. Let's make it happen. That's the most you would ever have gotten paid, period. Times triple. Daddy Dana just has to let you out of your contract. You work for the UFC. You're a basically.
Okay. 5 million plus points. Now, when you're looking at John Jones publicly said for his title fights, he got 2+ points. So I do agree that probably Jorge Masvidal has not touched this amount of money, 5 million in points. He might have gotten that for his fight with Kamaru Usman in Fight Island when Gilbert Burns wasn't able to do it because of COVID. They needed him last minute, and he really had the UFC by the balls. Maybe he got somewhere near that. I don't think he probably got half that, to be honest with you. Do I know? No, I do not. But I just when fighters tossed around numbers, we're not in this category, really. Unless, of course, you're Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, that kind of stuff. Huge pay-per-view. So I can't imagine Jake Paul is wrong about Jorge Masvidal as being the biggest payday of Jorge Masvidal's career. Jorge Masvidal tweets, the UFC isn't going to let me go for chump change. Make that 20, meaning 20 million guaranteed plus pay-per-view, and I'm sure the UFC will be okay with it as long as I break them off their fee, then I'll gladly break your face. This seems like pie-in-the-sky nonsense. Do you guys see Django Unchained? You guys see that movie? Right? How do you get a farmer to listen to an offer for his farm? You offer him more than he would ever make ever selling it. Throw out a number that's just absurd, and they'll listen, and you'll get their ear. Then the scam starts. That's where the con starts. Great movie. Ridiculously historically inaccurate, Django Unchained, but a fun film. So that's my point, is 20 million is pie in the sky absurd. To say, by the way, I don't fight for chump change, the UFC is not giving Jorge Masvidal 5 million plus points per fight. They're not doing that. That's absurd. They're not. He is getting more, should he fight Jake Paul, he's getting more than he's making the UFC. 5 million in points. First off, KOB, is what I'm saying sound reasonable? That 5 million plus points is more than Jorge Masvidal is making for his fights right now in the UFC? I can't believe it's anywhere
fact.
Near that.
No,
fact.
I,
yeah.
I agree
just,
with you.
Yeah. As I don't know if you heard, but what I said was that maybe the first Kamaru Usman Fight Island, we had the UFC by the balls. Maybe he cut a deal that made huge money. Maybe. But it wasn't 5 million for every fight I make from here on out plus points. He didn't get that. All I'm saying is Kamaru Usman in that fight, he may have had the UFC by the balls and made a ton of money. 20 million is insanity. Conor McGregor isn't getting paid that. So from the outside, and I am an outsider, I believe he believes the UFC is not going to let him fight anyway. So he's throwing out ridiculous, absurd pie in the sky numbers. UFC is not going to let him fight for 5 million. So he can't say yes. So what's he going to say? No, I want more. I don't see this as a realistic negotiation. I see it as Jake Paul's essentially correct. The UFC is not going to let Jorge Masvidal fight for 5 million. So Jorge Masvidal is just throwing out obscene numbers. I don't believe Masvidal sees 5 million as chump change. I don't. He's probably like, oh, God, I'd love to, but they won't let me. So no, I want 20. I want, if Jake Paul came back and said yes, I'm telling you, Masvidal would say, 50, right? He just, you know, he knows he can't. So he's trying to, I guess, disprove Paul's point by he's not saying the UFC's not going to let me do it. It doesn't matter how much you pay me. He's going to say, no, I want more and more and more and more and more. And he's not going to get that. 5 million plus points is a great payday, and it is the best payday of Masvidal's career. And he can't do it because he works for the USA. Paul is an a-hole about it, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Masvidal's under contract. He works for the UFC. If Jake Paul offered me 5 million plus points to commentate the next fight for whoever he fights for, Showtime. I can't. I'm under contract with WWE. I can't do that. You could offer me 10, offer me 20, offer me 50. Vince McMahon doesn't care. Wouldn't care. No, you're exclusive to WWE. And it is what it is. And hey, man, I don't mind at all. But it's the reality of the situation. So do I think Jorge Masvidal beats Jake Paul in a boxing match? Yes. Or he would be my favorite going in until I got different information. A couple reasons. Masvidal hasn't shown that he is shot in his last few MMA fights. He hasn't shown what Tyron Woodley showed in his last few MMA fights, which is an inability to throw punches. So I don't have that rapid decline that I saw in Tyron Woodley. Number two, he's slicker than Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley was a decent boxer in his prime, but more of a one-shot power guy. Never put combinations together very, very well, and was never particularly versatile with his punching offense. He could hit you hard, pretty basic, got him a welterweight title, but never slick. Masvidal's slick, and having 3 or 4 years of boxing training under your belt can make you pretty good, and you can deal with some power. Dealing with slickness is much harder, and that's what Masvidal has. So Masvidal right now would be my favorite.
Busted Open is your daily home for all things pro wrestling. Join Dave LaGreca, WWE Hall of Famers Bully Ray and Mark Henry, and hardcore wrestling legend Tommy Dreamer.
Dave LaGreca here. From WWE to AEW, Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and more, we talk it all. Whether you grew up watching Ric Flair or Stone Cold Steve Austin, Busted Open is your place for pro wrestling.
Busted Open, Mondays through Saturdays at 9 a.m. East on Fight Nation, Sirius XM Channel 156.
Hey, now it's time for the weekly UTC mailbag. KOB has sifted through them for the absolute gems, the best ones available. And I got to ask, all right, which ones are they? Ready, KOB? Come on, hit me.
All right, let's get this started.
You've got mail.
All right, this first one up is from Kirk from Wilmington, who says, "Hey, Mr. Monday Night Delight, hope you, KOB, and the sweetest Miss Kelly Murphy have a great holiday. I snuck out of my mom's basement to send this. By the way, your picks suck."
You know what? At least you have a mom with a basement to live in. You should be grateful for that. Thank you.
Obviously, he says, you know, no one really likes Jake Paul. But Jimmy Smith, if he called you out to box, would you take him on? Assuming you can contractually, what would be the dollar amount to box him for Jimmy Smith?
Ugh, it would be a lot. Simply because I was never a standout boxer when I was fighting. I was, you know, pretty good. I haven't laced up gloves in about 10 years. Yeah, it would take a lot of money. And the problem is that I don't think I could give the fans a showing that would be worth it. And that means something to me. You know what I mean? I don't think I could get in boxing shape and boxing ready in the amount of time. Like, if he's, all right, it's going to be in 3 months or 4 months. I can't get back in boxing shape and get my timing where it needs to be. In my prime, I would have happily boxed Jake Paul. It would have been no problem at all. But, like, now, it would just take so much money. It would have to be retirement money, at least a couple million bucks. And when you look at it that way, it's like, and also, like, I don't feel I could entertain the crowd in the amount of time. And to me, that does mean something. So it'd have to be enough that I could get over that. And I don't like taking fights under those circumstances. It would be retirement money. It would be a couple million dollars. That's what it would take for me. It really would. Because then, all right.
Do we have a million-dollar number?
Two.
2 million you're in?
2 million.
Yeah, that's Jake retirement Paul. He's already lowballing Jorge Masvidal, Jake Paul. So give Jimmy the call out here.
Well, yeah, if he lowballs a little more. In MMA, no problem. MMA, no problem. Like, they were like, okay, it's, you know, $500,000. Okay, cool. And MMA, fine, because I still grapple 4 days a week. I can do that. You know,
how fast would you leg lock Jake Paul?
In about 30 seconds. It would be takedown, leg lock, finish, and be over with. Like, I'm not worried about Jake Paul on the ground. So, yeah, I'd take a couple of minutes. That'd be retirement money. Like, I'd have to be able to go, okay, I can, you know, walk away the rest of my life because, you know, the issue is that I'm not in boxing shape and I was never a boxer. You know, I had decent hands back when I was fighting, but that was a while ago. It's been a minute. So, yeah, that's what it would take. Next.
Mail, motherfucker.
All right. This comes from Stan from Wisconsin, who says, "Hey, Jimmy. MMA fans seem pretty quick to dismiss Jake Paul beating Ashgren and Woodley due to where they both were in their careers. But considering the amount of time Woodley and Paul have spent in the striking department for MMA compared to the amount of time Paul has spent actually on boxing, Has Jake Paul exposed an overestimation of MMA striking ability?
No, I think there's a general misunderstanding of MMA striking ability. Now, first, see, even the way that question is structured, striking, this is just boxing. It's just hands. An MMA striker has to be able to push kick and tie kick and spinning wheel kick and back fist and elbow and all these things that boxers don't do. So it's a very, very specific subset of striking. So just, you know, a striker versus a striker. It doesn't work that way. It's a boxer versus a boxer. So all the time that Jake Paul and Ben Askren spent working elbows and kicks and knees and clinch work and that's all out the window. None of that works. How much time did Jake Paul and Ben Askren actually spend in boxing gloves, just period, just boxing? That's it. Not that often. It's not that useful in MMA. Rarely do MMA fighters just put on gloves and box. Why? Because then you're not looking for kicks, you're not looking for elbows, you're not looking for knees, you're not looking for all the stuff we have to look for. So it's very rare that MMA fighters have great boxing. They just generally don't because of those reasons. And if I just focus on boxing, it's very different than the grappling arts, okay? It's very different. Boxing in 3 or 4 years, if I just focus on that, I can get as good or decent enough to hang with most mixed martial artists in boxing. I know that sounds weird, but if you've been boxing for 3 or 4 years and that's all you've been doing, you can have hands that are, you know, pretty decent by MMA standards. You cannot wrestle with Tyron Woodley. You cannot do jiu-jitsu with Gilbert Burns. They've been doing it their whole lives, but they just started boxing. Usually, depending on where someone grows up and how they train, boxing the last thing they did. Tyron Woodley wrestled his whole life and then started striking late. Ben Askren wrestled his whole life and then started striking late. They don't have a huge head start over Jake Paul. They weren't striking that long, you know, and Ben Askren was never good at it, never relied on it ever, you know, just wasn't that guy. So you're not talking about, once again, out-grappling, out-wrestling Tyron Woodley, which would take you years and years and years. You're not talking about doing jiu-jitsu better than Gilbert Burns, who's been doing it years and years and years. You just can't do that. You can learn to outbox them if that's all you focus on. And Jake Paul, from what it looks like, not only does he have the money to do this full-time and get great training and privates and all that stuff, clearly he's a fairly talented athlete. Meaning he must have picked it up pretty well to even want to do this. So that's something people don't understand. I saw sparring footage. I'm not going to out this person, although the footage is out there, of a mixed martial artist who's really well known, who is really known for his striking, boxing at Wildcard Gym, the Wildcard Gym in Hollywood, Freddie Roach's gym. And I was sitting there watching my boxing coach, and he was getting tuned up in sparring. And my boxing coach turns to me and goes, I know the guy he's sparring. That dude is a C-level boxer. And he was tuning up this mixed martial artist who has, you know, really good striking. Because all that guy does is box. And this MMA striker needs to work on a lot of different things. And people don't understand that about MMA. They got to spend a lot of time doing other stuff. So they rarely just box. And that's all Jake Paul has to do. So it's a misunderstanding of it. Now, the public perception of MMA might be going down a bit. And so it'd be nice to see a mixed martial artist get in there and knock him out, but people don't understand the disparities and the differences when it comes to actual combat sports. So that's a big part of it to me. Next
message.
All right, we'll wrap up with our Jake Paul talk with Colby from Minnesota, who says, hey, Jimmy. He says, okay, I'm hearing all the opinions, and it prompted me to share mine that I think is a little bit against the grain, I guess. Although I dislike Jake Paul's personality and gimmick, I see more skill than is really being given, mainly because of how the man got to where he is and his level of success. Legitimate beef from Jimmy is he hasn't fought a pro boxer yet. Jimmy, yeah. Do me a solid and list the first 5 opponents of Roy Jones Jr. or Canelo Alvarez that were professional boxers. With a collective losing record, I'm sure. You don't think Paul could beat 5 boxing stepping stones. The whole thing is Paul... aside from fame, not talent. So he really has no choice but to attempt to fight UFC fighters for the pomp and circumstance that a Paul-like celebrity requires. My only real knock on Paul is his necessity to be the much bigger, stronger guy. But to bash his YouTuber skill, look, when legends like Mike Tyson and Zab Judah say he's putting in the work and putting in respect with his name, that's what I see. As always, Jimmy, love the show. Merry Christmas to you and your team.
All right, so the deal here that you can't get around is I don't think he beats five boxing stepping stones in a row. Oh, no, I really don't think he beats five boxing stepping stones in a row. Were any of the guys Roy Jones Jr. beat in his first five fights any good? No, but most time in boxing they aren't. But here is the difficulty. Beating five of them when that's all they do is boxing in a row, I think is too much for Jake Paul. I do. Do I see Jake Paul as an absolute joke? No. It's the difference between the guys he can beat and the guys that and the amount of money he's getting. The amount of attention he's getting doesn't match the level of competition he's fighting. So here, by the way, and I've seen this before, which is why I easily refer to it. Are you ready for the records of the first five guys Roy Jones Jr. fought? Because I've looked them up before. That's why I have it handy here. Are you ready, KB?
Ready.
Ricky Randall was 6-15. That was his first one. Knocked him out. Stephen Johnson was 9-2. Roy Amundsen was 16-1-1. David McCluskey was 9-10-2. Joe Edens was 12-11. Billy Mitchum was 6-8-1. That's his first six. I don't think Jake Paul beats a 16-1-1 pro boxer. I don't think he beats a 9-2 pro boxer. Now, the guys those guys beat were probably garbage, right? But I don't think he beats those guys back-to-back. So we have this idea that they were total scrubs. Yeah, the first guy was 6-15. That's his first fight. Next guy was 9-2. Next guy was 16-1-1. Then Roy Jones Jr. started fighting guys with a lot more experience, even though the records weren't great. 38-20-2. 28-17-3. Okay. Those guys at least had a lot of fights in them. I don't believe Jake Paul beats those guys. I don't. So people have, yeah, they were by boxing standards scrubs, but 16-1-1 ain't bad. And I don't see Jake Paul beating most 16-1-1 boxers. I don't. Is that fair or not, KOB? Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
No, 100%. No, I agree with you. I agree. Especially not just that. It's like, Jake Paul is, and again, it's because of his fame, and I'm not knocking, but like,
right, great promoter.
If you're going to main event and claim, like, oh, I'm the best thing that ever happened to boxing, it's like, hey, yeah, you're going to fight a boxer, man. At some point, you've got to do it. Like, I get it. Like, you box at, like, fellow YouTubers, and then, like, Nate Robinson, then you stepped into MMA fighters. Like, that was the logical. I don't begrudge him it, but it's like, and again, he, to his credit, he tried to do it with Tommy Fury. Which I actually
sure, which I would have given him more respect for. At least being a pro boxer, right? Yeah.
Because, I mean, I do, Jimmy, we read out the Tommy Fury's record on this thing. The guys Terrible. He fought. Like, yeah, they were the definition of tin cans. All of them. Every last one. Not even anywhere near respectable. So that would have been cool. And he did try. In this case, you know, Fury pulled out. So he fought Woodley again. But yeah, until you fight I want to see him fight a real boxer at this point. Because I'm tired of people just giving him the credit. And I'm like, yeah, he's looking okay against
of a pro boxer without beating a pro boxer, right? Yeah.
Exactly. That's my issue. Like, fight. I don't even care. Fight another guy, another boxer who has his three fights already, three pro fights. I'm fine with it as long as it's another pro boxer.
Right. I'm right there with you. So we're in agreement. Next.
Answer my question.
All right. This comes from Chris in Idaho, who says, "Hey Jimmy, based on skill alone, is Derek Lewis the single biggest overachiever in the history of MMA?"
Man, good chance. Really? I mean, like, I'm not disrespecting the guy either. Let me say a few things. The heavyweight division is the only division you can get away with being a two-trick pony. If you can stop a takedown, you're a hard hitter, you're going to go somewhere. Francis Ngannou does not win a title with his skill set at any other weight class. He just, and that's not an insult to Francis Ngannou. He doesn't have to. He's big. He's learned to stop a takedown. He couldn't before. And he hits like he stole something from him. Show me a 135er that can do that. Nope, you get killed. You got to know a ton at 135. They're all over the place. 70, nope. 85, nope. Doesn't know how to throw a kick. That won't get you through 155 where you got to, you know, have an encyclopedia. Heavyweight can get you through. So is Derek Lewis the most overachieving, let's just say, mediocre fighter, or his skill set is limited? Sure. But the caveat I'll give him is he's in the one division that you can do that. Looking at it is right now, Kelly Kell, I'm going to ask you, just kind of bounce this off your head. Is Francis Ngannou the most limited champion of all the champions in the UFC?
Limited in terms of skill set?
What he can do. By a factor of 10. Right? Absolutely. Francis Ngannou can't do everything Kamaru Usman can do. He can't do everything Glover Teixeira can do. Doesn't have a ground game. Couldn't submit anybody. Like, you know, he doesn't have to. It's, can I stop a takedown? Yes. Can I knock somebody out? Yes. That's it. So Derek Lewis is a good example of that, but he's not super far from the heavyweight mold. That's why, to me, a heavyweight like Cain Velasquez or Stipe Miocic, who was very, very versatile, they break the mold. They are almost like, whoa, I find that so much more appealing, a Fedor Emelianenko, than sprawl and brawl heavyweights who, you know, I've been watching them since Tim Sylvia, right? Sprawl and brawl, stop a takedown, hit you. Okay, and the guy became a champion. The Arlovskis, who had nice hands and had good defense and head movement combinations, they're rare. So, yes, Derek Lewis is, but he's not that far from the heavyweight mold. Next.
Message. All right, we're going to end on this one because this is kind of perfect. Because for those of you, know, you haven't really been here for a while, Jimmy, but like tomorrow.
Okay, I knew I would hear that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, tomorrow is actually going to be the last Unlocking the Cage of the year. We are going to be off Friday for Christmas Eve, and then we are off all next week. So this is actually a great mailbag email. Thank you. This comes from Matan. Check this out, Jimmy.
All right.
He says, hey, Jimmy. As the lady in between segments says, it takes a man of the highest integrity to go over their picks. About a year ago, you had a segment for 2021's bold predictions. I took note of them, set a calendar reminder, and here we are a year later. With the fight year all but done, here are UTC's bold predictions of 2021. Jimmy, this is how far Matan went. I'm guessing Kelly didn't work that day because he just has you and me. But he also has the ones that callers gave us, like to see just how accurate we all are.
Get this dude a job, by the way. Attend, do you need a job? We'd love to have you as a producer here.
Love to have him round up your picks from the entire year.
Don't listen to that, Attend.
He seems fairly dedicated.
Attend, don't listen to that, okay? Go ahead.
So we'll start with yours. You had predicted that only Davidson Figueiredo and Kamaru Usman would be the only current champs that are still champs of their weight classes at the end of the year.
Okay.
I kind of wonder who you thought Izzy was going to lose to in this division. Like, maybe you just forgot about him at the time.
No. Didn't we think he was going to move up? That was before the Blachowicz fight, right?
Oh, yeah.
You talking about moving up.
That might have been why we left him out.
Right, because I favored him to beat Blachowicz, and so I thought he might move up and abandon the title. That's why. I didn't think he'd lose.
Yeah,
I thought
sense.
He might move up. Yeah, yeah.
So me, I'm not technically all the way wrong yet. I mean, there's still a couple days left in the year, but my bold prediction was that Kayla Harrison would be fighting in the UFC by the end of 2021.
She can't. She hasn't. There are no more cards.
I'm just saying, if she signs a deal, like,
okay, all right, okay, all right.
I still kind of win that.
Kelly, does he win if she signs a deal? Because he said she'll be fighting in the UFC. So she has not fought, but if she signs a deal, is KOB correct?
Had you said fighting for the UFC? Yes,
ooh.
But she wouldn't technically be fighting in the UFC, but I still want to give it to you if she signs a deal before the end of the year.
We'll give him partial credit on that.
Yeah.
I'll give partial credit.
Okay, so Kamaru Usman is still champion. Davidson Figueiredo lost the belt to Brandon Moreno. And then I don't know who was champion at the end of last year that lost or isn't.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, when did Aljo win the belt from? When did Aljo win
Yeah, I knew it would be Aljo, yeah. I think Aljo was not champion yet.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else was champion yet.
Yeah.
35, yeah, that's the 35-pound belt. 45-pound. Volk was still. No, you know what? Volkanovski.
Volk's champ, yeah. Volk surprised us.
I may have even disagreed with you on that because I'm a big
55 changed around.
70.
35 changed around. 70, I said would stay, and it has. 85 stayed. I thought he'd move up. 205 has changed. And heavyweight? Ngannou? Was he champion?
Ngannou, yeah. I think Ngannou.
But Ngannou's been so inactive, I almost feel like that's kind of a wash. Like, he just has, you know, because of the problem with UFC, he's fought one time, which he's been complaining about incessantly. Or has he fought? He hasn't defended the title yet, so he couldn't have been champion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just wrong about Davison Figueiredo.
But here are some ones.
Okay, great.
From the caller. So we got Brad from Toronto, who said that McGregor would be out of the fight game. No longer
which
there.
The jury's kind of. I mean, I don't know.
But he still fought twice in 2021. He'll probably come back for at least one more.
He'd be out of the fight. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Another. And again, we call these bold predictions for a reason.
Yes.
Brad said Khabib is not done. He will come back and he will fight GSP. It didn't happen in 2021, but you never know. It's MMA. So
gotcha. Okay.
For all you know, it's going to happen in 2022. He also claimed that Khabib will own GSP in that fight. So we have one from Dave from Detroit. Reshuffling of weight classes, 165 and 175 will be introduced. I wish that happened.
That
would be fantastic. He also proclaimed that Izzy would become the light heavyweight champ and he'd fight Jones at heavyweight after that. Bold, yep. They're bold claims for a reason.
Be bold, man. Swing, swing for the fences, callers.
Adam in Staten Island, McGregor will fight for a third title, will retire, and be the first person ever to hold three titles and not defend any of them.
Fun, but yeah, you know what?
Yeah, not a bad call. Not a bad bold prediction. Then we had Reggie in Philly, who believed that Jones would come back to win the heavyweight title. It's funny, not actually going out on a limb, but still kind of is because it didn't happen. So
yeah.
Another one who said Khabib would come back to fight GSP. And here is actually the biggest bold prediction from Reggie. Kevin Holland fights for the title and possibly beats Israel Adesanya. That one didn't
answer. Wow, that one. Nope.
The rest of these were out on a limb, take a shot. That was a really specific one that did not age well.
So the only one that – did we have any other than Kamaru Usman as champion?
No.
Yeah. Wow.
Even I'm just to get partial credit, I'm still waiting on a Kayla Harrison deal like to happen over the next week or so. So yeah,
we'll
apparently
see.
Again, we asked for
they're
bold
for a reason. Unlocking the Cage with Jimmy Smith is part of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. The executive producer is Michael Russo. The associate producer is Kelly Murphy. Sound design by Nuri Balin. Special thanks to SiriusXM's Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.